Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Press Pass Podcast, a product of the Press Republican newspaper here in Plattsburgh, New York, in lovely Clinton County in northern New York. I'm Joe LoTempleo, editor-in-chief, along with my trusty night editor, Ben Rowe. Ben, how are we doing today?
I am doing well. The sun is shining.
Yes.
It's a very nice day.
It is.
Feeling all nice and energized.
It is a nice day. This is our 87th podcast.
The road to 100.
Yes, we're getting there. We're getting there. And it's always fun to sit down, and we've been doing these on Fridays lately, which is kind of cool. It's a good way to end the week.
It is. Look back on the week.
Yeah. And today, of course, is Good Friday for all you Catholics and Christians out there. And Sunday is Easter Sunday, a big holiday weekend. And next weekend, most area school districts are off for spring break.
Yes.
So we wish everybody a great spring break, and hopefully they have a nice time. Many people will be heading south to warmer climes, although it's supposed to be really warm here next week.
Yes, 60s, 70s.
Good.
Yes.
We need it. It's about time. Is right. Before we launch into our usual topics that we cover from week to week, I always like to go over some little quirky thing that I came across in my travels in the past few days. And the other day, I was on the History Channel, I think it is. They have these shows, The Food That Built America, The Men That Built America, all these things, historical stories about products and things that happened in our country. They're really interesting. And one of them was The Food That Built America was about potato chips and the history of the potato chip business and the companies that dominated it. Lay's, of course, was the big one. And it was a huge breakthrough when they decided to come up with something different than regular potato chips. Flavored potato chips and
barbecue chips.
Exactly. That was the big hit, the first one that they developed, and it still is the most popular flavored potato chip. And I'm thinking, is there anything better than a barbecue potato chip?
Controversial opinion. I don't like barbecue chips.
Come on, Ben.
Give me Doritos.
Well, what flavor potato chip do you like?
Actually, I like salt and vinegar.
Oh,
yes, salt and vinegar. It wakes you up.
As if you need more salt.
Yes, you put it in, it's like it's a zing. It's like, oh, I don't know if it tastes good, but it tastes interesting.
You got that right. They're very similar to sour cream and onion.
Yes.
Kinda.
But then you go up to Canada and have ketchup chips.
I could not believe. I didn't realize. There's like 40 different flavors of potato chips.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know there was that many.
Honestly, I mean, if I were given $100 to name 10 potato chip flavors, I don't know if I could manage it. But
yeah, exactly.
I could see that. I've seen shrimp flavored ones, I think. I think those sound pretty good.
Pickles.
Pickles is good. Yes, I've seen that. Yes.
How could you not like barbecue?
What about maple potato? I bet that's a thing.
They probably do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd have that.
Not that I eat a ton of potato chips. They're not the most healthiest thing for you. But, you know, every once in a while, a good barbecue chip doesn't hurt.
Well, you eat, what are they called? The baked ones? The ones in the tank.
Well, that was part of the show. Because, you know, when you make potato chips, they come out imperfectly and they break and they crunch.
Mm-hmm.
So this, it was Procter & Gamble of all companies. They're not even in the foods business. Mm-hmm. But the CEO wanted to make the perfect potato chip. So it took years for them to experiment with the ingredients, which was like dried potatoes. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. And they came up with the mold, I guess, to make Pringles, which, as we know, are uniform shape, neatly stacked. And the perfect potato chip. But Lay's argued and said, no, they're not potato chips. They're not made from real potatoes. You can't market them as potato chips. And I noticed in the store, Pringles are not on the shelves with the potato chips.
What are they distinguished as?
They're over with Cracker Jack, popcorn, and all those salty snacks.
Salty snack, not potato chip.
Well, they marketed it, they first started marketing it as the newfangled potato chip.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to stop that.
And now, wasn't the potato chip invented in somewhere in New York, or was it somewhere else? I remember the classic story of the chef who cut the potatoes too thin and then made the chips. I feel like I've been to where it was, but I don't remember where it was. But
maybe.
Yes. But yes, well, thank goodness for the good old-fashioned potato chip.
Well, you know, if you, like in a lot of restaurants, you order a meal, usually sandwiches, they'll give you a side of chips.
If I could put my barbecue chips into a sandwich, that would be good. I can
go right ahead.
No one's stopping you.
Anyways, that was just my quirky food thought for the week.
Well, speaking of crumbling up chips, yes? Segue?
Okay.
You know what else is going to be crumbled up pretty soon? Margaret Street.
Oh, yes. The Margaret Street. Segue. A bad one, but. yes, Margaret Street construction project will start, I believe, the 17th.
Yes,
is April. What the sign says. It is, as we know, it is a major renovation of a large portion of, a key portion of Margaret Street in downtown Plattsburgh. From, I believe it's from Court Street to Brinkerhoff.
Yes.
Is the main section.
Yeah, the main drag.
It's like a $12.5 million project where everything's going to be torn up, new road, new sidewalks. And most importantly, new infrastructure, water and sewer. Yes. That goes back to 1903 in that area of the city, and they're crumbling. They need, they're crumbling like your potato chips.
Yay!
And they need a replacement. And the city, I have to say, they're going out, doing what they can to notify everybody as best they can that, hey, this is going to be happening. We know it's going to be disruptive. We know it's going to be a pain. But please, have patience. Bear with us. Because when it's done, you're going to love it. And it's going to make that part of the street and all of downtown so much better. And the city's having a meeting with the stakeholders, so to speak, the businesses down there to explain what's going to happen. We'll see how that goes. But as you know, Ben, anytime there's a major road construction project, people don't like it.
Well, people have very set habits of where they drive to places. And then when they drive and come across detours and that, it's like, not going to be late to work.
Yeah. And I remember a few years ago, maybe close to 10 years now, the city redid a long stretch of South Catherine Street.
Yes, I remember that.
And that was a major headache for many months. And the people living there had to deal with it, and they didn't like it. But when it was done, it's a beautiful street. Makes it so much better. No more potholes wrecking your car. So a few months of inconvenience is usually worth it.
Well, that's part of it, is that people are always clamoring for whenever the city gets some money, the first thing people say is, use it for the roads, use it for the roads.
That's true.
And then when they actually use it for the roads, people are like, oh, why are they disrupting us for the roads? So again, it's that you have to, you make your bed and you have to lay in it for a bit to get the roads fixed. So,
yes.
But yes, as you said, is that once it's all done, it'll look nice and shiny and people will be thankful for it.
Yes, and the other interesting thing we learned this week is this was supposed to be a project that would stretch over 2 years. The mayor's now saying he's hopeful that the bulk of it, almost all of it, will be done by the end of this year. So that's an expedited timetable, which is good to hear.
Yes, we always appreciate shorter timetables.
So we'll keep an eye on that. And not too far from downtown this week, we had a lot of excitement that you got to witness firsthand, Ben.
Yes.
The return of the Adirondack line of Amtrak train. How was that?
That was good. Most excitement I've seen for a train in a long time. I was talking to somebody. They had a big event welcoming it back into, made various stops through the area and welcoming it back. And is that we were talking to somebody, an older lady that I was talking to there, and she was talking about how much she liked the trains and that kind of thing. But she said, "I wish more people look up." And I said, "Well, you know, is that trains are a little old-fashioned nowadays, but there was something kind of, you know, fun about waiting for a train and seeing the train roll down the tracks. Is that, you know, it's a little different than like waiting for a plane or a car as you look and you see it coming, this enormous thing rolling into the station and everyone standing by the sides, and you know, you kind of expect it, like jaunty 1920s music to be playing as we're all standing there under the train station overpass and the train rolls in and people, a handful of people stepped off and that kind of thing. So it was fun.
Yeah, I mean, people do love trains. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
And this, it's very nostalgic and a pretty neat thing. But for around here, it's also very practical.
Yeah,
people use it to go from, you know, Montreal to New York City quite a bit. And Plattsburgh State students, many who are from the city area, often use the train to commute up here. And for 3 years, because of COVID, we didn't have that option. People felt that. So to have that train, that mode of transportation option available again is a big deal for this area.
It is. And I also talked to another guy there, a gentleman who is legally blind, and he was telling me how that he, before COVID, would use the train, hop on the train up here, drive it down to New York City, transition, and then take a train over to Connecticut and visit his relatives. And is that he was talking about how since the Amtrak stopped the local line, he had to rely on his relatives to come up all the way up to New York, Plattsburgh, to pick him up, bring him down there, which was much more a hassle than him just hopping on the train. So he was very grateful for that. As he and I were talking about, is that, yes, the two main destinations are Montreal and New York City, but from those you can transition and transfer to trains that take you all over the place. So it's kind of like a hub.
And it's interesting, the Adirondack line stops in several places, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. along the way, including, I think, well, for in our region, Whitehall, Port Henry, Crown Point. Does it stop in Crown Point or Port Henry?
I believe so, yes.
And Westport. Port mm-hmm. Douglas, Keysville area, Rouse's Point.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of options, believe it or not. And I don't think it's that expensive.
I don't believe so, no. I mean, compared to the amount of, the gas and the convenience of driving, yeah.
The inconvenience. And traveling by train's cool.
Yes.
It's fun.
Yes, my mom is a big fan of, the scenic nature of trains and that kind of thing.
Yeah, several years, about 20 years ago, a bunch of friends of mine, we used to go up to Quebec City for the Winter Carnival at the end of January, early February. And we would drive to Montreal and park the car and take the train from the Via Rail train from Montreal to Quebec City. And it was wonderful. Great scenery. You're riding in comfort. You don't have to worry about driving in the icy roads or anything. It was awesome.
Well, as you know, the wisdom goes is that you go over to Europe or Asia and they get around all over the place on trains. So. You're right, is that there's a lot of practical uses for it as well. So that we are glad to have that way for people to get to North Country again.
Now, you said it's been a long time since you were excited about seeing a train come in. But mm-hmm. I think, as I recall, you've been to the holiday train events, haven't you?
Well, that's true. Yes. Yes, but that train has all the bells and whistles.
Yeah.
Yes. I will say, though, is that I don't know what it was, but it's just that for some reason, well, usually it's night that the holiday train comes in, obviously.
Yes.
So to be in the daytime and stand there and just have this gigantic train roll in the station. I'm like, man, this thing is big. It's like, it's kind of cool to be right there and, you know, roll up. Is that Carly had that story last year about the two local people that went and looked for the big boy trains, or I think that's what they're called. The big locomotives, which are humongous. And is the, you know, the golden age of gigantic locomotives and that kind of thing. That would have been cool. So, but yeah, it's like I said, you know, there's something about, especially as I was thinking, is that they had a cake down there, kind of a happy birthday Amtrak kind of thing. And it had a screen print of a photo on the cake, and it showed the train driving past the McDonough Monument, and with the McDonough Monument up in the background. It's a very scenic route along the lake and that kind of thing. Is that to the sea of the train rolling along there, it's a really nice route we have around here. So
absolutely.
Welcome back, Amtrak.
Yes, glad to have it. And speaking of tradition and history, the town of Schuyler Falls in Clinton County celebrated 175 years of a town, as a town, the other day with a nice little ceremony at the town hall.
It did, and I liked that our intern, Nikki Hayes, who covered the event, when we told her about it, she was like, wow, you know, that's a pretty old town. And just that, as I mentioned, you know, is that we do have pretty old communities around here. Some of the oldest in the country.
Rich history, no doubt. Clinton County, New York State. As we know, our history goes back to, the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812. And many important events happened then. Schuyler Falls, I'll tell you, and full disclosure, I live there. I live in the town.
Bias.
I've been there since 1991, so more than 30 years. It really is a nice little town. It's quiet. It's off the charts, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Maybe doesn't get the notoriety as the town of Plattsburgh's, Peru's, and Beekman towns do. But it's a quiet little town. Not that many people. There's probably less than 10,000 people that live in Schuyler Falls. Morrisonville is the big hamlet, which is where I live. And we are host to the Clinton County Landfill on the Sand Road, which is kind of a double-edged sword because it's maybe not the most pleasant thing in the world to live down the road from a dump. But
it's important.
And also, because we're the host, the landfill host, we get a lot of fees from the county for the agreement they have to lease it. So that keeps our taxes down. So
that's the key.
Thank you, Clinton County. Thank you, Michael Zerlo and others for keeping our taxes and the town hall, town government. Kevin Randall's the supervisor now. And Sherm Hamill's been there forever. And as a resident, I have nothing to complain about. Life in Schuyler Falls has been really good. The kids participated in youth sports programs, and there's always something to do. And there's some really nice places out there. So happy birthday, Schuyler Falls, 175 years old. Ben, you should think of moving there.
It was quite a pitch from the story. Is that one thing that I thought was interesting was they talked the story about Joseph Ledoux, one of the famous sons of Schuyler Falls, who back in the day headed west in search of gold. And it's cool to think that, you know, that somebody from around here headed off and, you know, went to the gold in them there hills and that kind of thing. And so you know, these little towns, is that they, as you said, rich history.
Yeah, and the one woman there, her father was the judge, Roger Dagenaud. Mm-hmm. Roger Dagenaud was the judge there, I think, for 43 years. He was this old farmer guy, 422B, and he was a no-nonsense guy. I used to cover Schuyler Falls back in the day, and whenever there was an issue came up, he would attend a meeting, and they would say, well, Judge, we're thinking of doing this, this, and that. And he would stand up and say, no, you're not. And that would be it. Whatever the judge said went.
Yes, yes. So, yes, and you know, is that a lot of little towns, in fact, they talked about in the story the fact that Saranac is going to have its, I believe it's 200th anniversary coming up pretty soon. And is that, from my experience, there's nothing like talking to the little small town historians, as was mentioned in the story, is that they could tell you all kinds of stories about back in the day, the wacky people who lived in the area, you know, farmer so-and-so with his, you know, his gigantic farm and such. So I always like going to, yeah, the little anniversary events.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And Schuyler Falls, there is a lot of history. Off of down near, I think it's down near Macomb Park, off Norseville Road, I think that's where it is, there's an old cemetery. That dates back to the Revolutionary War. There's Revolutionary War soldiers buried in that cemetery. So a lot of history, for sure.
Yes. So, yes. So, again, history of Amtrak coming back. And, yeah, the good old Happy Birthday, Schuyler Falls.
Yes, indeed. Couple other quick things before we kind of wrap up here. Today is the 10-year anniversary of, excuse me, pardon me, the Chazy Flyers girls U19 hockey team won the national championship in USA Hockey National Championships in San Jose, California, 10 years ago today, which is really an incredible story. This tiny town of Chazy produced a team of young ladies that went to California and beat every team in the country and won national championships. So that is a huge accomplishment for them. Congratulations to them. And also on that same day, the Vermont Shamrocks girls U16 team, they also won the national championships. And they had two girls from Plattsburgh, or Clinton County. My daughter and Kaylee Laporte played on that team. And so it was a great day for local girls hockey to bring home two national titles. Can't believe it was 10 years ago.
Well, yeah, and any time, yes, that you think, you know, a team from up here can go and rise up the ranks and defeat all challengers from across the country and be national champions is incredible to me, so.
Yes, and it really helped boost girls' hockey and girls' sports in general, which we've seen a lot. I was thinking on the drive in today, last Sunday was the NCAA Women's Division I Basketball National Championship game, LSU and Iowa, which drew a ton of attention all month of March for March Madness. These great basketball players, great teams, Angel Reese from LSU, Caitlin Clark from Iowa, had a little rivalry going. There was a little trash talking going. And I was thinking, today's Friday. 5 days later, people are still talking about it.
That's good.
Yeah, they don't. This is, that's what they do with men's sports. They talk about it forever. But no, they're not talking about the men's tournament. They're talking about the women's tournament, which is wonderful.
Well, yeah, that's the thing that I've always thought about with, you know, with sports in general is the fact that, yes, there's the game itself. But then there's everything else around the game that, you know, drives up the conversation, that kind of thing. You have, like, even me and my non-sports, you know, mind is that you have stuff like Deflategate, and you have stuff like, you know, all kinds of controversies. So, like, those are the water cooler things. And so for, yes, for women's sports or a women's tournament to, you know, keep people talking for, you know, about, wow, you know, did you hear about this? It's always awesome. So.
Yeah, it's really elevated, and people are finally beginning to see, hey, these women playing sports, they're pretty good.
Yeah, they take it seriously.
Fun to watch. It's enjoyable. It really is.
Mm-hmm. No, I think, I think there's a shift definitely happening, and I think from what I understand in part is that and again, I'm not really a sports person, but I think that the social media aspect of it, where before kind of the gatekeepers of sports, the people who decide where to broadcast it and how to promote it, kind of restricted a bit. But now that you've got, you know, the players with the social media, the fans with the social media, there's kind of more discussion around it. And it's kind of put it more out there in the open than I think it used to be. So I think that's a good sign as well.
Well, it was interesting that the men's game on Monday night had one of the lowest TV ratings in a long time. And while the women's game the day before on Sunday had the highest
ratings. That's interesting.
For a women's game, I think, ever. So,
and I think there was a lot of hype around it, which is good.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. It's catching up, which is really cool. So, yeah, women's sports, rah. And speaking of strong, successful women, our own Carly Newton took home two first-place awards in the journalism contest held recently. Now, this one was from the
New York Publishers Association.
New York Publishers Association. We enter many of them. Ben, what did she win for?
She won. Makes it sound like the Price is Right. What does she win? is that she won for Best Feature Story for her story last year about the father-daughter duo that became 46ers. A very heartwarming story is that of not only 46ers, but of a family of 46ers. And then she also won... which I think is just as impressive, is for Best News Series for coverage of the whole conversation last year about the Crate Center and the will they, won't they, and the protests and the counter-protests and all of that around it. And as the judges said, you know, which is true, is that keeping that conversation going and is that, as I was thinking about it, and as I'm sure you, Joe, can speak to, is the fact that with things coverage like that, often issues like that are kind of kept to, you know, local meeting rooms and local public comment sections. But by covering it, Carly keeps the attention on it, keeps people informed on it, stuff like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, the debate whether or not to demolish the Crate is raged for more than a year, wasn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Carly covered it hook, line, and sinker, so to speak, all aspects of it. And at one point, she was heavily involved in setting up a group interview right here.
Yes.
At the Press Republican, where we had seven or eight people in favor of keeping the Crate came right here and told us, you know, their views. And then, of course, right here on this podcast, we had the mayor himself, Chris Rosenquist, to explain why he felt it should be demolished and the city should move on. So there was extensive coverage. And Carly has a way of being very thorough. Yet the way she reports and the way she writes, it's very smooth and it's easy reading.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and is that... Yeah, that she has a good way of digging through all the details and presenting it in a way that's very easy to understand. So, yes.
Yes. So, way to go, Carly Newton. We're proud of you. We're glad to have you on our team. The pride of Port Henry.
Yes. The pride of the Peas, Plattsburgh and Port Henry.
Yes. Why? We'll have to have her on the show.
We will, yes. Yes, absolutely. Is that that she is a wealth of knowledge.
Yep, and good on her. And we hope to be hearing from a few other journalism contests coming up soon.
Yes.
We've submitted a number of works that we think is worthy of notice, so we'll see how we do.
We will. I will say is that whenever you ask, or whenever anybody asks, which one is this? Well, take some combination of the words New York Press and Association, and you'll come up with names of a couple.
That's true. That's true. And a shout out to you, of course, Ben, for putting those entries together, which is not an easy lift.
It's not, no. Shout out to anybody in any work that has to put together some of the award submissions. So.
Well, it is greatly appreciated. And the other thing I noticed today that I want to talk about briefly is, seems to me that we've been getting a few more than usual photo submissions from our readers. That's always nice, isn't it? We saw some nice photos like rainbows and sunsets.
We did, and actually that's a really good point, Joe, is that we should make a plug about that. that nowadays so many people can easily put their photos up on social media. When you take a nice photo, you're out there with your phone and snap that. And that's very nice. But we offer a platform where you can get your photo right in front of people in their morning coffee. They open it up and they see your beautiful photo of one that we're running soon is of a gorgeous photo of the sunset over at Dannemora. I believe it's looking down, Route 374?
Yes.
Yes. And it's the sky is tangerine orange and it's just a beautiful shot. And so, yes, so email those to news@presspublican.com with your name, where the photo was taken, and, you know, any other details you want. And honestly, again, you know, we accept all kinds of Facebook-worthy photos. As you know, you can send photos of animals in your backyard. You can send photos of scenery. You can send photos of events, all kinds of things. So,
yes, we're happy to have them. There was one, I think, recently of a snowy owl.
I believe so. There was one that I really liked recently that was of a pair of bald eagles over there, I believe, off Sable Point. And you know, and I think sometimes people think, well, you know, this isn't a newspaper-level photo. And, you know, to that, no, is there anything that you think people would like, you know, send it our way and we'll take a look.
So. Yes, and they get a lot of reactions. So people enjoy looking at those. Remember when we had the albino squirrel?
Oh, geez, the albino squirrel. That was right before COVID, I think.
Or at the beginning of COVID, even.
Yes.
Maybe, yeah.
Yes. I blame the albino squirrel for bringing us COVID.
No, Lord, no.
But yes. And especially if you get something wacky, please send us that way.
Very out of the ordinary. And I also saw on social media the other day that there was another moose sighting here.
I heard about that. Something about a moose on near the train tracks or something like that. So, yes, if you get a moose photo, we'll run that front page. We have before, actually.
Yes. I don't know. It was around this time of year, too. Maybe in the springtime is when they start moving.
Moose season. Yes. But, yes, again, I'm news@presspublican.com. Send us your photos. We would love to take a look.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And Ben, do we have any parting thoughts here?
Well, if you enjoy this, you can find more episodes at presspublican.com/podcast. You can find it on SoundCloud. You can find it on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, for listening to the Press Pass podcast, a product of the Press Republican newspaper in Plattsburgh, New York. Until next time, we wish everybody a little weak side help.